Hey, this is Eve Miles, and you're listening to the Infamous Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another special Tuesday edition of the Infamous Podcast. Today, we have the second part of our interview with indie creator and all-around awesome guy, Christian Colbert. In this episode, we learn more about Brian Williams and Christian's work together under the Raven Hammer comics brand. And we really get to learn a lot about what it's like to be an indie creator, protecting your intellectual property or IP, and, you know, how to, like, really look out for what's best for your brand. These guys had a pretty eye-opening experience with a major Hollywood player, and, you know, they didn't come out of it unscathed, but at the same time, they both learned a lot, and it's really a good story and a good cautionary tale for any indie creators listening in. So here is part two of the Infamous Podcast's interview with creator Christian Colbert. Enjoy.
You know, there comes a time where I'd have to say Lucius Hammer and Harlem Shadow was more my agenda than his. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, I consider him always a co-creator, yeah. Always. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter if I go on to take this somewhere and it grows into whatever. I always consider him a co-creator because Lucius Hammer visually has his DNA all over it, and so does Harlem Shadow. And I hope that he feels the same way about Raven's Hollow, because Raven's Hollow, you'll never see what I did with Raven's Hollow unless he decides to
release it.
But I did some of my best shit ever, I feel, with what I wrote for Raven's Hollow. But there comes a time sometimes when you got to let a project go and go on to something else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I understand that he has to do that. He has to move on right. with what he's doing. Lucius Hammer and Harlem Shadow, though, remain very much my agenda.
Right.
You know, so those will go on and those will move on. And I'll have some announcements. He's got some projects that he's working on that he'll be announcing, too. And, you know, I mean, obviously, if people come back to the fold and, hey, let's make Harlem Shadow a movie or this or that, then him and I will probably do books together again. But we've definitely got to be compensated.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's too expensive, you know?
Now, when the whole deal fell through, did you guys sit down and talk and maybe consider, like, I mean, you had some pretty savvier industry veterans kind of on your side as advocates, it seemed. Did you consider, like, working with those guys and saying, hey, let's either figure out a way to do this ourselves, or, you know, can we approach someone else to help us make these? Did that ever come up, or was it like you guys were kind of dejected and you know, you're, because I remember your hopes were really high. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I felt let down when it didn't happen. I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah. I'll let you chime in first on that.
Well, I think it was a little bit of both. We thought about taking it other places. I don't really think we considered taking anybody who was working with Simmons with us, because Simmons was going to hire his own creative team, his own writers, his own artists, his own animators, stuff like that. We were basically just going to have our name on it. There wasn't going to be much involvement from us. And, you know, for what it is, that's fine. If it worked out and blew up and we got millions of dollars, hey, take it. That's fine. But that's not what happened. Some of the directions they were taking the story in Harlem Shadow were not anything close to Brian's original vision for the book. Mm-hmm. And so we felt kind of let down by that. But yeah, we thought about taking it other places. We talked to another guy that was a Jazz Fest dude. I forget his name.
Doesn't even matter.
Yeah, but
he wanted money from us.
It's like,
it's like one of those modeling contracts. You pay me $500, and you know,
you out on modeling. No, deals. He was like, you put up half, I put up half, and I'm like, bruh, reason I came to you was because I don't have a half to put up, you know.
So we have the product.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know why. And hell, Christian can tell you. Christian was working with DMC. This is the crazy thing. So after we get done messing with Russell Simmons, he gets involved in a project with DMC, who's the other half of Run DMC. So we're fucking with the Russell Simmons family deep here. And, you know, it's one of those things where everybody wants to create a project or have a property. And I think because of connections with people we met, Russell Simmons saw the Harlem Shadow and saw a chance to develop his own comic book property really quickly for little money. And he thought maybe Christian and I were enough of country fuck boys to just be like, yeah, man, put us in Entertainment Weekly. Get all the rights, man. Take it, man. But we weren't.
Take a seat or two. Let's go.
Yeah, right. Right. So, hey, if there's a story here for any indie people out there to listen to, is listen, if somebody
hire a lawyer.
Get a lawyer. Foremost.
Yeah. Before you even look at a contract, hire a lawyer. It's worth the money.
Because really, to be honest with you, we've named a couple people here. And with all due respect to Russell Simmons, hey, I love Russell Simmons. You know, I don't hold this against him. I know this is what is done in Hollywood and in the entertainment world all day long.
Right.
Okay. But there were like maybe three other sleazy people that approached us before this. You remember the other guy that Pig Feet saved us from inadvertently?
Yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah.
that was a bad situation too.
They're out there. They're laying like snakes in the grass, and all they want you to do is sign your little shit over so you can never get it back from them again. So don't do it.
Seeing Softbatch and this other guy talk and argue about our property was kind of like watching two monkeys trying to fuck a football. It was so asinine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
It was more asinine that we let them
do that.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah.
It was going to be an online animated series, right?
Yeah, it was going to be
on Def Jam YouTube or something like that.
Yeah.
Do you think so? Like looking at like just media now, and you know, here we are, like we're streaming live on YouTube as we talk, right? That wasn't available really 2 years ago. We're on live streaming on Periscope right now. Do you think maybe it was a little ahead of its time? The thought of doing that, like it was overly ambitious because, you know, there were YouTubers out there who were starting to make money, but like, you know, you have that, what's his name, PewDiePie, who makes $10 million a year just from his YouTube channel talking about other people playing video games. You know, it like there's been a cultural shift. Do you think maybe, like I said, it was just a little too far ahead of its time, or was it just all these other factors that came into it and you guys decided to protect your IP?
I think Rush Management wanted to do something. And once again, I've not studied their entire operation, but they do music. Mm-hmm. They don't do production, TV production. They don't do animation.
Right.
And there's another person involved in this, which I haven't spoken his name, but he was supposed to bring that component.
Okay.
And
I think that's where a lot of the ball got dropped, was when it came to him.
Right. And that component was not realized. And I don't know why it wasn't realized. I don't know if he was inexperienced or if this was just a backroom handshake. Let's do this. And then, you know, the party's never really intended to do it, because that kind of shit happens too.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Common was involved.
Yeah.
Kevin Grievous was involved. There were key people involved. So it was something, you know, Christian and I were invited to speak on radio shows that never really happened, that didn't materialize, but we were slated to be guests at the New York Comic Con that October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you and I talked about carpooling out there, because I actually had a badge that year.
Right. So there was something, it broke down, and guess what? That's over, you know, but the message here is these things happen. People try to take advantage of you, protect your shit, copyright it, get an attorney. And if anybody ever asks you to sign something, that's an immediate signal that they don't have your best interest in mind. So, you know,
I got some good advice from one of my editors at Disney when it comes to stuff like this. Just keep in mind that they need you more than you need them. Don't be afraid to turn people away. There are going to be other offers that come along. There's going to be other people interested in it. So if someone shows you the first, don't sign the first shit deal you see. They give you a bag of peanuts and a back scratch. Don't sign that. I mean, you work hard on what you create. You put everything you have into it. You know, it's worth being compensated for.
Yeah.
So to keep that in mind.
That's a good point. I mean,
I think that's just really good advice to any indie creators out there right now.
Well, it's a good point.
I mean, that goes across the board to musicians and
filmmakers,
stuff like
that. Yeah, that's why I said just creators, like, you know, not just comics, but music and you know, art and all that just content that's out there now.
Well, and the artist typically is the person, you know, with all due respect, in this situation that gets compensated. The writers, I have yet for an artist to pay me to write something for them. Have yet. And I'm not bitter about it. That's cool. But when it comes to a situation like this, break a motherfucker off. Break me up. I mean, you know, if you're going to option something, I mean, that was the most insane piece of this whole puzzle. We're dealing with Russell Simmons and Rush Management or whoever. You can't break us off $5,000 a piece. I mean, you know, help a motherfucker pay his bills, his tuition, his, you know, get a sandwich, get a cup of coffee, bitch. Damn.
You mean flitting $2,000 wasn't gonna get you there?
No, I know. I'm just saying. I mean, $10,000 is gonna hurt you. You've sold millions of records and done all kinds of shit, but you're going to get paid on the back end. Bitch, when I'm Rip Van Winkle, I mean, I just never understood it. You know, once again, all due respect, but, you know, how many people get paid on the back end of shit?
Like big, big stars.
Hey, if I'm Jack fucking Nicholson.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. Okay, I got a couple of ducats over here that I can wait till Top Gun is 20 years old and get the back end of the gross.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, anyway, diatribe over.
Yeah. I mean, you and I have had conversations about this over the years. I find this interesting. I'm especially finding it interesting, Christian, getting your point of view on this after, you know, listening to Brian talk about this for the last couple of years. I think it's just sad that we didn't get to see that come to fruition in some way. Now, do you, Christian, are you able to like do actual like animation, or is that not your focus?
It's really not my focus. I took a couple of animation classes in college. So I get the basics of it. I know, you know, frame to frame to frame, you do your in between stuff like that. But I don't really focus on animation itself. Yeah. I'm more of a, you know, still based artist.
I mean, it seems like that's like a really arduous process anyway, you know, just from the time you have to put into it.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead.
Animation is a much bigger process than, you know, drawing a comic book page. A lot of the time in an indie book, it's one artist doing the pencils, inks, colors. And when it comes to animation, I mean, still traditional animation, like, you have somebody who does the rough animation. You have somebody else that comes in and does the cleanup, and then somebody else that comes in and does the timing. And
a whole team,
a whole team of people. It's a very time intensive, you know, process. Not like comic books isn't, but it's a little bit faster than creating like an animated clip.
So like, do you do like, when you're like working on a book, is it like a page a day or, you know, just kind of depending on like the action Brian writes for you?
It depends on the day. It depends on the page, the script. On a good day, I can get a full page of tight pencils done. But recently I've been switching up my process. I recently moved to all digital instead of working on paper. So it speeds it up somewhat. A good thing to aim for all you young artists out there is a page a day. A full color page, maybe 2 days.
Are you going to get that new iPad Pro with the Apple Pen or Apple Pencil or whatever it is?
No, I'm going to avoid that. I got a Cintiq Companion 2. It's one of those computers where you can draw right on the screen. And cool. It's no matter what anybody says, this is going to work better than an iPad for drawing. It's awesome. Just that's what it's designed for.
What's your favorite page you did when we were collaborating at Ravenhammer?
Oh, my favorite page I did. I think there's two of them. There's the one page where Lucius was at his mom's funeral.
Yep.
In the first issue. And then in the second issue, I think my favorite page was, I think it was the splash page at the end where he's holding a dead Brown Rangers. Oh, yes. And it was a Jim Aparo homage.
Yes. Jim Aparo is of course my favorite Batman artist. Yeah. I don't know if he's your favorite Batman artist, but he's up there.
I think mine is probably Norm Breyfogle.
Yep, I love Norm Breyfogle too.
We talked about Norm Breyfogle yesterday.
Yeah. Jim Aparo is my favorite, but Norm Breyfogle and Neil Adams are a close second. I like Breyfogle better than Neil Adams, though, unfortunately. Fair enough. I know that's not the popular pick.
Neil Adams is at the expo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I thought about getting commission.
Some of the first comics I bought were Detective Comics, where Breyfogle was drawing them, and it was right around the time when the Batman movie was coming out. I was like, "This is the best thing I've ever seen in my life."
Right.
Me every Batman comic I can get my hands on.
They hold up, though.
They do hold up.
Yeah.
Yeah. His artwork never gets old to me. It's
timeless.
Truly one of the best. Yeah.
Let me chime in here and ring your bell for you for a second. I wrote a sequence in Lucius Hammer issue 2. For any of you that want to go buy it, check it out on our website, www.ravenhammercomics.com. But issue 2 of Lucius Hammer includes a character, I guess it's a homage to Spider-Man, a character we created called Brown Recluse. And he's Lucius Hammer's partner in this sequence. And he's actually witnessing some police brutality in a dark alleyway. Lucius Hammer and Brown Recluse are sitting on a rooftop looking down on these police rough these kids up. And Brown Recluse makes a controversial decision to confront the policeman. Now, mind you, this is what, Christian, we did this in 2011. So this is four years ago. These were the soft batch. These were the soft batch issues.
Yeah, the soft batch years.
Yeah, right. When we were under the influence of our janky promoter, we did these two issues. And we obviously were dealing with the police brutality issue way before all of this shit jumped off in Baltimore. I mean, hell, police brutality has been a constant thing going on for years, but we did this sequence. And I mean, this Brown Recluse character could have been the cheesiest thing ever. Whenever you try to copy Spider-Man,
right,
it can go wrong.
Very easily, yeah.
Yeah. But to Christian's credit, he didn't stop me. He wasn't like, nah, this is too strong. Cause there were times where he, you know, as a writer and artist, him and I got a little, we got into some fisticuffs about things and
verbal fisticuffs.
Yeah. And sometimes he'd be like, B, that's too strong, man. That's too strong. We're going to blow people out. You know, imagine me blowing people out. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You know, but,
Just real quick.
Yeah.
All like pages 16 through 21 of the Lucius Hammer book you guys are talking about are actually on the first page of Christian's DeviantArt. Christian-Colbert, C-O-L-B-E-R-T, .deviantart.com.
Can we put
if you want to check that
can
out.
Can we put those pages of Brown Recluse up on...
I don't ask Christian.
On Infamous?
If it's okay with Christian.
I mean...
No, I don't. Yeah, so we can definitely get those.
These pages done by Christian Colbert. Copyright 2011. Yeah,
copyright Christian Colbert.
I posted some art one day, and this motherfucker was like, Brian, show the artist. I'm like, oh, shit. I got to go back and repost. I didn't do it on purpose. I just, you know.
We get yelled at all the time for that. It's not just
him. It was Mike Zeck, though. Like, it was a kind of a recreation of a old Spider-Man cover, that Batman one you're talking about.
Yeah, the Zeck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
Mike Zeck.
Yeah, Zeck is one of the best.
He was at the Cincinnati Comic Expo this week, too. And he had this giant booth, and his wife was there, and she was like his hype man. She was like calling out Mike Zeck, creator of the Black Spider-Man costume. And it's like, let's call him designer of the Black Spider-Man costume because someone told him to draw that. You know, it's not like he just was like, hey, I have this idea.
Well, and that's what I point out, too. When you point out what you point out about artists, I point out the other side, too. Hey, give a writer his props as well. You know, like Bill Finger, you know, he's just starting to get love.
It's actually just this week. He's like being like retroactively added to like all the DC Robin books as the co-creator.
Yeah.
Of Robin.
Because writers get ignored as well. And I think it can happen on both sides. I argue for artists just as much as I argue for writers. We're all creative. We should receive equal credit when we do things and if people post shit.
I feel like our Robin podcast is what really like got that ball.
You think that think that was influential?
Not at all.
But anyway, I was getting to a point here about these Brown Recluse pages. Brown Recluse could have been a character that went left and wrong pretty quickly. And Christian made him into this powerful, terrifying creature that, I mean, even as a guy that wrote it, I was just driven to write more about this character because I want to see more after seeing his rendition. And that's his huge talent.
Mm-hmm.
Because the story Lucius Hammer became something else when I saw his rendition of Lucius.
Right.
It inspired me to write something better than I had originally intended. And that's what this cat does. So, you know.
That's cool.
Kudos to you, Christian. You're fucking the man.
Thank you, sir. You're fucking the man as well.
Wait. You're fucking the man or you're fucking comma the man?
Hey, Christian. You're fucking comma the man. Not you're fucking the man. Because if you're fucking the man, I don't want to talk about it.
Let's just keep that to yourself, right?
Hey, I'm sorry, Infamous podcasters. I didn't mean to say that.
It's late.
It is.
We're doing this much later than we normally do. So we're going to be a little more punch drunk.
Right, right.
So good thing we're not drinking this week.
So I don't want to ask.
I'm drinking.
Wow.
I don't want to ask.
You're an hour behind us, so it's okay.
I don't want to ask you the typical questions like, what's your dream project? But really.
What's my dream project?
Like, what do you see yourself? I mean, obviously, you want to probably 12-issue run on Spider-Man.
So, Christian, tell us, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Yeah, what's your five? What's your fucking 5-year plan?
Do you have a 5-year plan? What's your 10-year plan?
No, my dream project is doing my own stuff and being able to support myself on it.
That's exactly. Awesome. And it's simple. That's a simple plan.
That's so cool.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I love drawing Spider-Man. I would love the chance to draw Batman or X-Men or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. But I want to do my own stuff. I want to tell my own stories. There's thousands of people out there that have told Batman and Spider-Man stories.
Yeah.
But there's nobody that can tell the stories that I want to tell with my own characters other than me.
Correct. Correct. I agree.
That's my dream gig right there.
Cool. What are you reading right now? Are you reading any current comic books or?
I just went to the comic shop yesterday. I picked up a couple of books. I'll flash them up. Actually, I picked up Archie number 1 and 2.
Nice.
It's actually really good.
That's the whole new one, right? The whole new run.
Yeah, it's a brand new one. Yeah. Mark Waid and Fiona Staples.
I'm Mark Waid.
Fiona Staples.
It's really good.
Fiona Staples up in here.
Fiona Staples rules.
Yeah, her artwork is amazing. It's fun. I this would kind of fit into your blasphemy category, but I really have a thing for teen angst, like TV shows like 90210 and
Dawson's. My so-called life. Like that.
Yeah, exactly. All that stuff, and this kind of fills all of that need.
Oh, nice.
I just read both of those today. Both really good. I also picked up Chrononauts, the first trade. I haven't read it yet.
Certified Infamous.
Certified.
I've been a fan of Sean Murphy's since he came out with his first book. It was from Dark Horse, I think it was. It was called Off-Road. It was all in black and white. It was amazing, and I've just been hooked.
Hey, he has awesome splash pages in that book, just full of action. Chrononauts there that like just blew my socks off.
What was the online platform that Off-Road started on? Remember, you and I used to read that. Bayou was on there. The Love Brothers did Bayou on there.
Oh, Zuda Comics. It started on there?
Yeah, Off-Road did.
Did it? Okay.
Yeah. High Moon.
I used to have a trade paperback of that, and then I lent it to a girl I was kind of dating at the time, and we stopped seeing each other, and she kept it, and I never saw it again.
So. That's the worst.
That's why you shouldn't loan out your comics, bro.
That's true. You live and you learn.
Hey, Did you read Descender?
I have not yet. Brian was talking that up.
For a couple weeks preached about it, and then the first volume came out last week with Chrononauts, and I picked it up right away, and I read it twice, like almost back to back.
Yeah. It's right up your. Hey, remember that shit you wanted to do a while ago called Tank? About the little robot boy, mm-hmm. It kind of puts me in the mind of that a little bit. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I've still got something in the works for that as well. So I'll let you guys know when that starts happening.
Gotcha. Yeah, come back on and tell us about it when it happens.
Okay. What do you think of our? I mean, what? And I want your honest feedback, not only as a friend but just as a critic. What do you think of the Infamous podcast? I mean, I know at first you gave me the advice, hey, Brian. You know, hit the brakes a little bit because sometimes you have the tendency to be overly critical. But and I've tried to take that advice a little bit here and there. What do you think so far?
Well, I really dig it. I've listened to every episode. I've tried to get into other podcasts, and I just kind of eventually tune them out, stop listening because it gets kind of boring. You and Brian have a good back and forth. I know you said Brian kind of. Tutor kind of pushes your buttons a little bit sometimes, but sometimes that's fun with you, man, to push your buttons and see your reactions a little bit.
I certainly have fun doing it.
And it makes for good listening for your you know, listeners out there.
Go ahead.
I know Brian. I've known Brian for 10 years, so his critique of comics and stuff like that is nothing new to me. Like, he's been talking about comics for like that to me for 10 years. That's about it. But yeah, I really dig it. I'm gonna keep listening. Anytime you guys want to have me back, I'll
definitely
open invite.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to say, like, I have to listen to it, you know, just because like I edit it and engineer it and everything. But like, I go back and listen to it after it goes live just to make sure the feed went right. And I just enjoy listening to this guy over and over again. Just talking about all the things that, you know, because he's, I'm going to kiss your ass here for a second. He has like such a cool take on just the comic culture and industry and, you know, really he, for every like critique he has, he typically gives an answer of what he would like to see, like how to write that ship. And I enjoy hearing it.
Well, and I think the reason why Brian and I didn't tell you this. This is kind of the origin of the Infamous podcast. Right when you and I were on the verge of releasing Lucius Hammer issue 1, I approached Brian about doing a podcast. because
yeah, you've been talking about wanting to do one for a long time.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to do one and sync it up with our, you know, our anointing at the Chicago Wizard World. I wanted to have a podcast that time too. And he was kind of skeptical at that time of doing it. I think because he had a, you know.
It wasn't because of you.
You know, well, you were at a different point in life at that time. And, you know, we were thinking about doing it and he thought about it, but, you know, we just didn't pull the trigger. And so of course,
when you came to me for that, I was working a full-time job.
Yeah.
I was working a 20-hour week internship.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a 5-hour week internship and I was going to grad school full-time.
Yeah.
Like for like a year and a half, sleep was not in my vocabulary or, you know, just daily routine.
Right.
And the idea of doing that was ridiculous. And like, just for me, not like actually doing that. And what really like turned around for me is I spent the last 2 years teaching at Miami University. So, you know, for 16 hours a week, I had to prepare material to like stand up in front of, you know, between 15 and 35 just shitty college students who didn't want to hear about, you know, anything. And, you know, prepare them for lectures and you know, kind of get them to the point where they're ready to go out and get jobs and internships and stuff.
What's interesting to me, though, is you got three people on this podcast right now that are very, I mean, I'm going to do this. Yeah. Him and I are going to talk comics no matter what. So are you and I. Even if we don't do another project again, you and I will talk about the Browns and the Bengals till the end. You and I will discuss when the next Avengers movie comes out, what they should, what they shouldn't have done. And I will maintain that they should not have killed Quicksilver and that Quicksilver was better in Age of Ultron than he was in Days of Future Past. But that's a topic for another time.
That is a good topic
for another time. I liked him better. I the more I watch Age of Ultron, the more I'm like, so damn, shit was kind of hype.
So you liked Kick-Ass as Quicksilver better than Kick-Ass's buddy as Quicksilver?
Yes.
So, or wasn't he like ass kicker or whatever? Like he was the when in Kick-Ass 2.
Yeah.
Didn't Todd go like the other way?
Yes.
And was like the yellow and green version with the bad guys.
Yeah.
It was a different actor. It wasn't the same guy.
Not the same. Not kick. Yeah. He wasn't.
No, but it was
same
the
dude.
Same character.
Same character. But not the same
character.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't in the second movie, but yeah. The
character. Hey, Morris Chestnut was in Kick-Ass 2.
Yeah, he was. He was in Kick-Ass 1.
I like the black dude in the first one, though.
Oh, he's a different actor?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. They recast a bunch of roles.
Yeah. Yeah. But but yeah, I mean, it's weird that all three of us are very passionate about this. Mm-hmm. And yet you're just now starting to make decent money and to be able to live off of this.
Yeah.
Brian, from the journalist side of it, has to my knowledge, hasn't made a ton of money off this yet.
No.
And neither have I. But I'm going to do this shit anyway.
I'm going to do it.
I have fun.
For me, it's learning a new skill and everything.
That's the key. That's the key. I mean, and I think when we were doing Raven Hammer Comics, we certainly didn't make any money off of it, but it was fun. And I think that still shows in the work now, you know. So I'm proud of that shit we did. I'm proud of the podcast, and I just said we just keep creating. You know, that's what you got to do. That bottom line is what's going to get people interested and fans following you is creating good product. I see a lot of Facebook pages and websites and shit. I see a lot of hollow characters that look cool but don't have anything behind them. And that's when you usually catch the most critique from me.
Right.
If it's hollow shit, you know.
Like all of DC Comics right
now. I love DC. Marvel.
Batman's been good.
What's that?
Capullo and Scott Snyder on Batman is probably one of the best Batman runs. It's going to go down in history as one of the best Batman runs.
I think so. I think Batman has not been this good since your boy Breyfogle on Detective Comics. Alan Grant and Breyfogle.
I have to agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Jim Lee did his little Batman stint with Jeff Loeb, and it was okay. I mean, who doesn't like to see Jim Lee draw Batman?
Right.
But here's a fanboy topic. Don't you think Jim Lee's Batman is a little too muscular?
Not really. I think superhero comics are kind of getting away from the spandex suit look and going more towards like an armored look.
Mm-hmm.
And he always kind of drew him like if his skin was gray, and you can see every little rib and every little muscle. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way it's been done for years and years and years. But I think visually artists are getting better and better, and you have to be able to convey that in the art. A lot of people can draw a nude figure. A lot of people can't draw a really cool armor suit in the same pose,
right,
and have it look believable.
I just meant from a standpoint of like apparel or Brave Fogle.
Yeah.
Or even Capullo. I mean, I guess I like my Batman with less. I think Jim Lee tries to go more after the Frank Miller bulky Batman. And I like the more agile, lithe.
Yeah.
Batman
the lean, physique. The lean muscle over like the Ed McGuinness bodybuilder, you know, steroid muscle.
Yeah.
Like, I have the regular Kyle Rayner action figure from, you know, early on in the Ron Mars run. And then I have the Ed McGuinness version of it. And, like, the figure is probably an inch taller and, like, 3 inches wider.
Well, Ed McGuinness characters are all squat.
Yeah, no necks.
Yeah. You know? And that's cool because that's his little
style. Yeah, it works. You know? Like, the Batman Superman book that he did forever with.
That's great. I love that.
I think it was. Was it Loeb who wrote that? The Batman,
him and Jeff Loeb.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like
yeah,
that was a lot of fun.
Every issue of that.
And they did the
Yeah, I think that.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I said, that's why I liked it so much, just because it was fun. You got to see Batman and Superman doing fun shit, like fighting Metallo and fighting giant monsters, stuff like that.
That seems to be what you're looking to do.
Have fun. Yeah,
I want to make comics that are fun and people pick it up and look at it and like, this is cool. Like, I'm not going to be the next Neil Gaiman or anything like that. I'm not going to be the next Frank Miller. I'm going to be Christian Colbert and make the comics that I want to make. And hopefully people like them. If they don't like them, then.
We're looking at Twitter right now. Like, obviously we're still listening to you, but Jeff Lemire and Greg Smallwood are having Moon Knight book. Just announced coming out in 2016.
You know how I'm kind of a writer snob and I don't really like a whole lot of American writers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like getting major fanboy wood for Jeff Lemire. Cause he's balling, yo. He's writing dope ass books left and right. Like he fucked with Animal Man, DC New 52. That shit was on point. Was he on Swamp Thing? No.
No, he did Green Arrow.
Scott Snyder was on Swamp Thing. He's writing this thing we keep telling you about, Descender. He's got something else out that's pretty good. He's just the shit. Mm. He's a good, interesting writer. I like Scott Snyder, too. I like that Batman run like that you referred to, the DC New 52 Batman run. I mean, it's had a couple of slow spots like that. That death in the not death in the family. What it was called?
Death of the family.
And there's a couple of continuity mishaps in Batman that kind of irritate me. But man, I didn't know Capullo had this in him. I mean,
I always knew he was good. I wasn't a Spawn fan. Yeah, he was amazing on Spawn. Spawn looked like an amazingly beautiful book, which it was. I wasn't always a fan of the story on Spawn.
Me neither. That's not
his doing. He made it look amazing.
The Spawn story was nonsense, but it was cool. It was just like Todd McFarlane just had a really bunch of cool ideas. And, you know, playing with them.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. No, nothing wrong with it. There are some books that you just pick up for cool shit. Yeah. They don't necessarily relate. Like, you know, I mean, do you remember any plot lines from Thundercats?
Not really. I kind of remember the first few episodes when Lion-O was like, he was a little boy, and then they put him into the cryostasis thing, and he came out as a man. And
yeah.
But not really.
And then at the end, he went into the Book of Omens, and then that's where it ended.
Yeah, so I mean, sometimes you just have fun shit just for the sake of having fun shit, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Cool. Well, hey, thanks for taking the time and you know, putting up with our hectic schedules to get this done. Where can people find you online?
Usually Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Facebook is facebook.com/Christian Colbert. Instagram and Twitter, it's at Hey Colbert with an A-R-T at the end instead of E-R-T.
Yeah, I had that misspelled in the tweet I put out earlier, but I put a correction in there.
Who's your favorite hip-hop personality?
Like rapper or music? Producer? Or?
Music, personality.
That's a good question.
Music-wise, wow, that's a tough call. Hip-hop, I think my top group would probably have to be Gangstar. DJ Khaled is probably hands down one of the best producers ever. Guru's lyrics, you know, they just kind of sync together. Yes. But that's just hip hop. I'm into way more stuff than that too.
Well, did you ever?
It's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah. Did you like Jazzmatazz?
I did like Jazzmatazz.
Yeah, like Jazzmatazz was tight. That's Guru. That's Gangstar. Gangstar was from Boston, right?
I'm from New York. Guru was born in Boston, but he went to New York.
And he
met up with Premier, and they had a third guy in the group at one point, and he just kind of dropped out at some point early on.
Who was the little rapper that you put me down with that made that song "Dirty Girl"?
Oh, Atmosphere.
Atmosphere. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
He's got a lot of material, man.
Yeah, they have a ton of albums, man.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a hip hop fan, I definitely recommend checking them out.
We'll get on. Maybe we'll have another episode where we talk. Brian and I are talking about doing some episode.
Yeah, we want to start talking about more music.
We're talking about doing an episode where we always draw this back to comics. So I was like, we should do like the best comic book soundtracks, action movie. Like we're talking about how The Matrix had such a good soundtrack. How I quietly liked the Daredevil soundtrack. Ben Affleck.
You probably got an iPod full of Evanescence, don't you, Brian?
That's the group. That's the group. I liked Evanescence, but there was a song that they did for Kingpin on the Daredevil soundtrack. Yeah. And they play it before some football games. I'm an outlaw. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
I forget what they're talking about. I forget who did that. I probably shouldn't have
done
that.
I thought that was NERD with
Nerd.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that on the podcast. So. I'm going to get clowned now. But oh, well.
Yeah, or, you know, I think what would be cool is to pick a comic and, like, pick a soundtrack for that book. Like, for the actual book. Like, what should you listen to while you read it?
Dude, we do that. Yeah. I know I do it all the time when I write stories. I know he listens to music when he draws, so. You know,
yeah, I'm listening when I'm working. I'm listening to music pretty much the whole time, unless I like find some background Netflix movie or something.
Well, I'll make a soundtrack. When I was writing Raven's Hollow, I made a soundtrack full of music. And like to this day, if I hear that music, I think of Jamal and Khalid. Khalid. Yeah. Khalid. Hey, this is the other thing, real quick. This guy that was supposedly representing us would mispronounce the names of our characters and stories in front of important people.
Yeah.
And it's just like, are you kidding me? But anyway.
All right. Well, hey, Christian, thank you for taking the time. We'll definitely have you back on sooner rather than later. This has been a lot of fun. We've been talking for a really long time.
Hey, and when you're ready to introduce your joints, man, please introduce them here first.
Hit us first.
I will definitely do that. I'll make an exclusive reveal, but I'm working on all the copyright stuff first. Like I said earlier, get that shit under your belt and then let people know about it.
Exactly. Absolutely. Exactly. All right, player. Good looking out, man. I appreciate you coming on.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, it was my pleasure. You guys have a good night.
You too, brother. Bye. Later.
All right, and there you have it. Part two of our interview with Christian Colbert. You guys just heard he and Brian went through a lot together, definitely in the trenches of indie creatordom. If you haven't read any of the Ravenhammer stuff, I highly recommend checking it out. You can find The Harlem Shadow on Comixology right now, and if you email us at theinfamouspodcast@gmail.com, we can point you in the right direction for finding Lucius Hammer online. You know, I've read both books. I definitely enjoy both books. They're a lot of fun. And, you know, Christian's art is awesome. Brian's a great writer. So, you know, really support these indie type of books and everything, because the more we get, the better storytelling we have. All right, guys, so that's it for this week. This has been a special Tuesday episode of The Infamous Podcast. As always, you can find us online at theinfamouspodcast.com, at Infamous Podcast on Twitter, same thing on Facebook. And, you know, just making the plea one more time, 5-star reviews. They help us move up in the ratings on iTunes and really help us get found and get more listeners to the show, so we can start doing some really cool things for you guys. So tune in on Friday. Not sure what we're going to talk about just yet. We typically plan these a few days in advance so we can be as up to date as possible. But yeah. All right. Everybody have a great night. Later.